Okay, that's up to them. They're controlling. Seems like it's pretty loud to me, but I can hear myself. How many of you in the back, can you hear me okay? Okay, yeah, okay. Okay, again, thank you for coming. My name is Larry Stevens. I'm the city manager with the city of Edmond, and we have three other staff people here with me that I'll introduce. I can really hear myself. First of all, Jim Smith, sitting next to me, is our assistant city manager for operations. Steve Commons, sitting next to Jim, is our assistant city manager for administration. And Shannon Ince, at the end of the table, is our community development and public transportation director. The purpose of this meeting is to provide a civil forum to receive public comments concerning the City of Edmond's sustainability program. There is a sign-up sheet for people who want to comment, and they're going to bring that up to me, I think, in a couple of minutes. And also, if you haven't signed up yet, we want to give you another opportunity, so there'll be a sheet at the back as well. The guidelines for comments will be the same as those that are used when people address the City Council in a City Council meeting. Three basic guidelines, and number one, people wanting to comment must first give their name and address, including the city where they live. Number two, we ask people to limit their comments to no more than 5 minutes. And number three, basic rules of civility will be followed, and that means basically no interruptions of the person speaking, no clapping, cheering, booing, etc. We do not have the equipment available within the city to televise this meeting live, but we are recording it for future playback on the city's government access channel, Cox Channel 20, and AT&T U-verse Channel 3, or no, AT&T U-verse Channel 99. For those people that would prefer to comment on the city's program through email, comments can be sent to our city staff at comments@edmondok.com. No decisions will be made at this meeting. This is an opportunity for people to comment and tell us what they have to say. We have revised the list of activities the city has undertaken as part of our sustainability program, and copies of that revised stewardship list are available at the back. That list replaces the previous Go Green list, and we have also developed a mission statement for the program, and I'd like to read that to you very quickly. And the mission statement is right here on these sheets. So when you get one, you'll know what that is. The City of Edmond strongly supports good stewardship of Edmond's resources, whether fiscal, natural, or human, and will promote our quality of life by employing principles which support this stewardship. We realize that many people are concerned about the city's membership in ICLEI, the International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives. Let me give you just a little bit of background on that from the city's perspective. The City of Edmond became a member in November of 2009 and renewed membership in November of 2010. The annual membership dues are $1,200. The city was reimbursed for the dues by the Energy Efficiency and Conservation Block Grant. We refer to that as EECBG as part of the funds set aside for program administration. The decision to join ICLEI was made to utilize software which calculates and converts data that is needed to determine energy savings, emissions, and technology effectiveness. City staff has not requested nor received any information from ICLEI pertaining to the United Nations Sustainable Development Agenda 21 program. The city's potential future membership in ICLEI will be reviewed and evaluated as we get closer to the November expiration date. It is important to understand and remember that the city's program has been designed to reflect locally derived, accepted ideas and priorities, not those of ICLEI or any other organization. And with that, we would now like to hear from you and hear your comments. I'd like to start with Mr. Charles P. Head. He's number one on the list, who lives at 17100 Prestwick Circle here in Edmond. And the microphone is right there, sir, so you go right ahead.
My name is Charles Head. He's already stated my address, 17100 Prestwick Circle, Edmond, Oklahoma. I'm not sure that I understood exactly what you said about the word. I missed a word or two about you are not in any way connected to Agenda 21. Did that what you said? Then why are you a part of ICLA and have to pay dues to that organization would be the first question I would have.
Things I talked about, and this really isn't meant to be a question and answer session. This is meant for us to hear from you. But the reason we decided to join ICLE was to utilize some software that is available from that group, which calculates and converts data into data that we would need concerning energy savings and so on, and technology effectiveness. So that was the reason that we joined ICLE.
Okay. Well, You switched the thing a little different than what I'd anticipated. So, but let me go ahead. I'll go ahead and say what's on my mind. Sustainable development is a term that came from Agenda 21, which was put out by the United Nations. And ICLA is a part of or a branch of the arm of Agenda 21 for the purpose of implementing sustainable development across the nation and actually around the world. The purpose of ICLA and Agenda 21 is to enslave the world to a socialist organization and control. The three basic purposes of Agenda 21, and I know you said this is not associated with that, but it's the language is all the same, so I'm having difficulty separating the two. The purpose of Agenda 21 is to eliminate population, to control all property, private property included. If you look at a map of the United States and see what our federal government already has control of, and most of that is, or a lot of it is under the arm of the United Nations, there is a vast acreage of the United States, which looks very, very bad. So as I see, this is another term for controlling and taking away our freedom and moving us into one world government. The third term is to stop urban sprawl and to place, force mankind into organizations so that you can eliminate private transportation, have high-speed rail and that sort of thing, and other things in order to eliminate the need for the fuel consumption that's America is supposing using up 2/3 of the world's supply. But I'm opposed to sustainable development because it is the tool to eliminate our freedom, to control everything that we do. And I know that you don't believe in that, but perhaps you don't understand what is actually happening. But this is a device to control you as an individual and our nation overall. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And our next speaker is Monty McKenzie. And I think what we'll do, Monty, if you could just give your name and address when you get up there, if that's okay.
Good evening. My name is Monty McKenzie. I live at 109 Berkshire Drive, Edmond, Oklahoma. You know, obviously, I'm here as a concerned citizen, wanting to know more about this sustainable item that you're trying to implement. What I can understand is what I don't understand is that the software that you're wanting to implement is coming from this group that probably y'all are pretty smart people. Y'all are very resourceful. Y'all probably have that information and from like people like OG&E. We have our own Edmond Electric here. They have that capabilities as well. We don't really need that influence from some outside entity such as ICLEI. That may or may not be the case, but at the same time, I'm concerned just as this gentleman is. I'm a landowner. Obviously, I take that freedom very seriously, and I want to keep that sustained. As codes and things come in to implement into what you're trying to, the sustainability, it just creates more government that we don't need. Bigger government is not what we need. We need smaller government, and I feel that that would influence y'all's decisions. Another issue is the consensus process. The consensus process is something that will, you know, if you don't like what I'm here and we're debating this point, you can just cut me out of the equation with this consensus program. You don't really give us a voice, and we have to have a voice. I know that's what I feel that's what you want, and you don't want total control, but at the same time, if this ICLEI can provide you with programs that is already packaged, you don't really need us to vote. It's something that y'all can just say, well, y'all have already got it put together. It sounds like a good idea. Well, let's just go ahead and implement it. That's not the process that we've had in our Constitution over the last 200 years. So, thank you.
LaDonna Sheets.
Hello, I'm LaDonna Sheets, 1601 Oak Creek Drive, Edmond. And it was my understanding that this is a republic. And as a republic, we should be able to vote on something this important. Whether we'll get to or not, I don't know, but I think that would be a really good thing to do. Our freedoms are being taken away daily by our government, and the government is constantly encroaching. Now they're coming into our little cities and towns, and they want to tell us what to do. Well, I think we know what to do. We are as smart as the government, probably a lot smarter. And we've managed ourselves for many years. So this sounds to me like a President Obama agenda. He is in for social equity, and I think this would level the playing field. And I don't think anyone here would want that. So I don't know what it is all about, but from what little bit I've read, it sounds like a social justice thing. So that's about all I have to say.
Brett Bain.
Larry, I appreciate you guys having this. I'm Brett Bain, and I've lived at 3101 Timothy Way for over 30 years. And our family has benefited living in this town that used to be led by people you could get to know and whose leaders were not dependent on federal dollars. And at that time, apparently leadership was not tossed to and fro by every new global or national priority dreamed up by central planners. Individual property rights were protected from outside influences. Why are our property rights now being threatened by overzealous city staff, anxious to grab every federal dollar they can just to increase their influence, even if it's at the expense of individual freedoms? Shouldn't we be concerned when the newspaper cites city staff saying staff has never been asked or sent any information pertaining to the UN or Agenda 21? So when our city staff pays dues to an organization called the International Council for Local Environment, that sounds like an oxymoron, International for Local Environmental Initiatives, without investigating the background of such an organization, why shouldn't we be concerned? Why is city staff paying for Eclipse software to calculate and convert dates needed to determine energy savings, emission, and technology effectiveness savings? Is the need here related to Edmond receiving some federal stimulus money? Probably. Are we being driven by the lure of federal tax dollars that not only injure Edmond, but the whole country? Since our city is a dues-paying member of Akeley, perhaps you can explain what social equity challenges means. Here's a statement from Akeley. To start the planning process, a local government can research and assess environmental, economic, and social equity challenges and opportunities within their jurisdiction. Or how about explaining the meaning of, they also recognize that resources exist for the benefit of life forms other than humans. What does that mean? Bugs? If you go on through their site, it goes on and on and on. There's 150 people contributing this thing. Another thing, strengthen local and regional food systems and support and encourage economically viable, environmentally sound, and socially equitable food system throughout the food production and disposal of life cycles. So I assume you're saying that we might get involved in a food system and how to equitably distribute that. Now, one of the equities I would like to consider is my salary with any of your salaries. I like it to be equitable, so I'd like to have the same salary you have, Larry. So I just want the city to consider the unintended consequences of getting in bed with these central planners that use federal dollars to entice us into the global system. Let's require local decision-making process, because even Akeley says it needs to be transparent and evident to the public through the provision of information, participatory tools, which you've done here tonight, I appreciate that, education, and an open process. Thank you very much.
Tim Rollins.
Good evening. My name is Timothy Rollins. Address, I put my mailing address, P.O. Box 334. And I wrote this all down. I figured that way it's I don't miss anything. First of all, you've come here asking for respect and understanding as far as you, your organizations, your goals and objectives. I believe it's best accomplished when we understand and expect the same of each other. I am not one who believes honesty to be the best policy. Rather, I believe it to be the only policy. To that end, I ask questions that in the name of honesty can and must be answered directly and without lengthy dodging of issues at hand. I believe these questions can best be answered by posting answers on the city website. When governmental authorities seek to implement policy, people want to know why and from where they get their authority. Just ask any lawyer or cop, and they'll tell you to follow the money. To that end, I ask of you this. Number one, where do you get your funding? Two, is it funded through stimulus dollars? Three, is it funded through dues-paying members of your organization? Four, to what extent does local autonomy of the individual citizenry run the risk of being either compromised or undermined by a non-governmental agency over which we as a citizenry should have the final say? Inasmuch as you have set continued membership in ICLEI on a year-to-year basis, I want to thank you at least for having the willingness to consider the non-renewal if public demand justifies it. And number five, based on feedback to date and through September 2011, and I'm hoping I can get a yes or no answer on this one, is it safe to say that Akeley affiliation may not be renewed come November 2011 if, say, by September, you get overwhelming feedback from the citizenry, from these people in here, your voters, your property taxpayers? If they overwhelmingly tell you, kick these guys loose, is that something you will come out and do, or at the very least strongly consider, if the blowback from the voters, from the people who pay your salaries, says, you know, we need to cut these guys loose? Thank you.
Ralph Bullard.
I'm Ralph Bullard, 2612 Persimmon Creek Drive in Edmond. I've been a citizen of this town for 72 years, and I have a great deal of love and appreciation. I've taught school here for 10 years. I was educated in Edmond and at the university. I have great concerns about what we're dealing with tonight. I spent about the last 30 years teaching government, and I've learned some things I believe about government that may not be commonly practiced anymore. I want to share that. Before I do that, though, I want to say a couple of recommendations to the city of Edmond, and that is, when you schedule these public meetings, don't do it at 6 o'clock. I had to hurry from my office in Oklahoma City, didn't eat my supper, came down here, and it's not a convenient time for a public meeting, so I just suggest that for your consideration. Have a later time for that. The other consideration has already been mentioned a couple of times, and that is, I don't get all excited about all the federal money we get here. I understand the only money the government has is money they take from their citizens, unless they just print more money. And that money had just about run out, or has run out, and we're taking money from a government that really has run out of money, and they're simply printing more money. And as they print more money, my money I have in my account becomes less valuable, called inflation. And I wish Evan wouldn't do that. It does make me proud that we got another federal grant. You know, the old sow, Hog, has so many people nursing on her that she's gone dry. And we're guilty of that as a city, I believe. So I encourage you. One thing I learned about studying government and teaching government to high school kids is that the most effective and efficient level of civil government is not the national level, it's not the state level, it's not the county level, it's the city level, where the people live and know each other. That's where your most effective and efficient government exists. If there's a fraud in a town, they'll find it out. If there's a fraud at the national level, we may never know it. It's just too big. And for us to hook up with an organization that has this, really, its leanings, not just from the national government, I believe from the federal government, I mean from the so-called international, the United Nations. And I'm not sure who gave these things out, but I was trying to browse through it real quickly when I came in, and I read a preamble to one of the United Nations conferences on environment, and the preamble says, land cannot be treated as an ordinary asset controlled by individuals and subject to the pressures and inefficiencies of the market. Private land ownership is also a principal instrument of accumulation and concentration of wealth, and therefore contributes to social injustice, whatever that is. Public control of land use is therefore indispensable. The other thing I learned teaching government, you can't get away from the Declaration of Independence. You get away from that document, you get away from the founding of this nation, more so than the Constitution. Our forefathers very boldly declared that men have certain inalienable rights. And this was new in the history of the world. And we've benefited and profited from those rights that we have. One of them is called life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Pursuit of happiness basically means the free use of your property. All types of property. And this nation has become rich and beneficial and wonderful to other peoples of the world because of that declaration of the rights of men to be free to decide for yourself. And I want decisions about the use of land and concentration of people and transportation done by the local community where we know each other and we trust each other and we're not influenced by somebody who has a different idea of what America is supposed to be. Thank you very much.
John Robinson.
Hi, I'm John, and I guess a couple things that struck me was this,
give us your address.
608 Timberdale Drive.
Okay, thank you.
A couple of things that struck me was the article in the paper stating that city officials said they were not aware of any connection between the council and the United Nations or Agenda 21. And so I spent about 10 minutes trying to go through some chronology through the internet. I'm not a big fan of the internet. I know there's a lot of garbage out there. But in a period of, of about 10 minutes, you can rather rapidly connect the dots. And I don't think anybody's said anything that's not true thus far. We have different opinions, but if anybody in the city council does not yet understand the connection, I surely wish they would raise their hand, and someone here can probably explain it a lot better than I. I guess my recommendation right now is I'd drop the ICLEI relationship. That's my recommendation. I'd reduce the project, and that's something that, and coming in here, this is hardly a reduction in government activities, and I mean, I crossed out the things that I don't have any use for any of it. Now, that's my opinion, but this is not a smaller government. You're hiring people. A lot of us are are fortunate enough to have jobs. But in any case, I think basic recommendation for me is that you disassociate with this group. Thank you.
Molly Jenkins.
Hi, my name is Molly Jenkins. My address is 16701 Valderrama Way, Edmond, Oklahoma. The first thing I'd like to say is that I would encourage you not to take my word about sustainable development, but do your own research. Inform yourselves. Connect the dots. Let me be clear to everyone in this room. There are several key phrases, all of which pertain to the same thing. These catchphrases are synonymous. They include phrases such as sustainable development, sustainable communities, smart growth, smart management, and Agenda 21. That's only naming a few of them. To illustrate this point, I refer to issue 2 of the Millennial Papers entitled The Future of Local Agenda 21 in the New Millennium. And for those of you who are defenders of the Second Amendment, I'd suggest you listen up. In the case of the United States, our local authorities are engaged in planning processes consistent with Local Agenda 21, but there is little interest in using the Local Agenda 21 brand. Participating in the United Nations advocated planning process would very likely bring out many of the conspiracy-fixated groups and individuals in our society, such as the National Rifle Association, citizen militias, and some members of Congress. This segment of our society who fear one world government and a United Nations invasion of the United States through which our individual freedom would be stripped away would actively work to defeat any elected official who joined the conspiracy, in quotes, by undertaking Local Agenda 21. Here's the catch, guys. This is part of the quote. So we call our processes something else, such as comprehensive planning, growth management, or smart growth. They must, the idea that they want to bring this to us as a Trojan horse is extremely disturbing to me. They admit in their own papers that they're using other names. If you don't know about this, I can supply you with the information directly from the United Nations. What is sustainable development? I will provide you with a brief history. The Brundtland Commission was the first to define sustainable development. They did so in an address to the United Nations in 1987 at the World Commission on Environment and Development. This report was adopted by the United Nations at the Rio Summit in 1992. It is now being adopted in Edmond, Oklahoma. Ms. Gro Harlem Brundtland, referred to by some in the Green Movement as Mother Earth, was the chair of this commission. By the way, she is also the vice president of Socialist International. On the City of Edmond's website, specifically referencing the page on sustainable community, the definition for sustainable development is provided to the residents of Edmond. The definition is almost verbatim from the Brundtland Commission. Not only has the City of Edmond adopted the definition of sustainable development, it has also begun to implement the plan, which is socialist in its very nature. I find it hard to believe that the citizens of Edmond would knowingly go along with a socialist ideology that was created by the Vice President of Socialist International on behalf of the United Nations. I ask you, why is the City of Edmond quoting socialist United Nations propaganda on its website? And why is Edmond advancing socialist agenda? I believe we are due an answer. Something is wrong. Either our elected officials are unaware, which has its own set of problems, or they are complicit. Either way, Edmond has a problem. You might ask how sustainable development will affect you as a resident of Edmond. I encourage you to look at other sustainable communities for the answer. Take King County, Washington, an ICLEI community. As an example, rural landowners are now required by law to leave 65% of their land in its natural condition while paying taxes on 100% of their land. The examples in California are extraordinary and plentiful. But for an example closer to home, in the report to the City Council and residents of Edmond entitled The Edmond Greenprint, on page 19, the recommendation states, private streets should be discouraged. Does the City of Edmond wish to regulate the rural residents of Edmond to the point that they wish to abolish private streets established on private property? What will they abolish next if this goal is accomplished? How will they regulate you if you are a private property owner? This next quote is from a United Nations conference. I'm not going to read it. It's already been read. Land cannot be treated. It's the one about land cannot be treated as an ordinary asset and deals with social justice. To some of you guys, he may just be a dead white guy. But to me, George Washington is as relevant today as he was when he was our first president. He said, "Guard against the impostors of pretend patriotism." This may all sound really good, going green, cool mayors, sustainable development, but remember, this plan was designed by people who believe they must make up new and different names so as to disguise their true identity. Sustainable development was designed by people who have a socialist one-world government agenda. In closing, is this what you want for yourselves? Is this what you want for your children? You'd better make sure, because it's already being infiltrated in the very governance of the City of Edmond. It is not enough to simply disassociate Edmond with ICLEI. The ideology of sustainable development is prevalent throughout the entire system. It is socialistic to its very core and must be eradicated if we are to continue to enjoy our sovereignty. Thank you for your time.
Laura Kinch.
Hi, I'm Laura Kautz, actually. Kautz. I'm Laura Kautz. My address is 3001 Orlando Road, Oklahoma City. I'm going to be really short. But one thing I've learned from researching and studying is that good intentions aren't really enough. I'm sure you guys have majorly good intentions for Edmond, but I was just kind of researching some proponents of sustainable development, and it was kind of shocking to me, some of the things they believed. Some of the major proponents, actually, like Obama's current advisor on science and technology, John Holdren. I just want to read a quote from him on his idea of something that he wants to put into practice, put into effect, actually. He is looking for a planetary regime, actually. So here's his quote. Quote, such a comprehensive planetary regime could control the development, administration, conservation, and distribution of all natural resources, renewable or non-renewable, not only in the atmosphere and oceans, but in such freshwater bodies as rivers and lakes. The regime might also be a logical central agency for regulating all international trade. The planetary regime might even be responsibility for determining the optimum population for the world and for each region, and for arbitrating various countries' shares within their regional limits. The regime would have some power to enforce the agreed limits. That was pretty amazing to me that was Obama's science czar saying that. The Earth Summit in 1992 has already been mentioned, but one of the major players in that was Maurice Strong. And they're a huge proponent of sustainable development. And one of their beliefs, well, in a quote was, isn't the only hope for the planet that the industrialized civilizations collapse? Isn't it our responsibility to bring that about? And I was just wanting you to kind of look into the worldview of some of the major players who believe in sustainable development. That's all.
People, we asked you earlier, we asked you very nicely, we talked about it even before we set up the meeting that it's inappropriate to clap. I'm going to ask you again that you refrain from that. We've had the same issue come up in some city council meetings, so let's please, if we can avoid the clapping, we'll go right on down the road. Farland, I can't read the last name. Kearns, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to butcher your name, sir.
Maybe I should work on my penmanship. It's Ferlin Kearns, 3816 Northeast 140th here in Edmond. And I appreciate you guys putting this on, and I appreciate everything everybody said, especially the gentleman, the teacher. I appreciate that. I can't get inside the members' heads here in Edmond, so I don't know what your plan is. You said this is not a Q&A, you're not going to answer any questions, so when I leave here, I still won't know. I had some questions I wanted to ask, but you say you're not tied in with the Agenda 21 of the United Nations, and ICLEI's very specifically tied in with that stuff. This is on their homepage. There's no question. Agenda 21's right at the top of it, and it's pretty exhaustive, and that's what they do. We've got 2,700 page health care bills, we got 2,500 page financial reform acts, we got, this is thousands of pages, this sustainability, sustainable development. So it takes a lot of time to really sit down, and most of us have jobs and we really don't have time to do this all day, every day, while we're trying to work and pay taxes and go to PTA and make a living and support our families. The progressives are always worming their way through society, through our courts, through our schools, through our universities, with sustainable development in Edmond. Let me tell you what we got in bed with in this 2,000 pages of ICLEI and this Agenda 21. There's 70 countries around the world. And Bosnia, Herzegovina, you know, they slaughter people on a daily basis. And they're wanting to get involved in what our building codes are in Edmond, Oklahoma, when they're killing each other on a daily basis. The communist Chinese, the socialist countries, autocratic governments, despots, they kill each other all the time. That's who we're in bed with. They're the ones that are getting in this organization telling us I don't even know what the words, the equity stuff, the social equity and our drainage ditches and our heat and air and all that stuff. Like I say, it's thousands of pages. It would take us a long, long time to go through all that stuff and see just exactly what they're up to. But what I did, I'm reading this book called The 5,000-Year Leap. I've read it. I've read it several times. I actually studied that book. And what that book talks about is what made the United States the greatest country on this planet. What makes us exceptional? It's two things. We match freedom with capitalism. That's what made us the best country on the planet. We have gone farther in 200 years than the entire planet did in the previous 5,000. That's the thesis of that book. We can keep trying to tear down the United States. Tearing down the United States is not going to bring those third world countries up to our level. To bring those, and that's what this thing is. Let me back up here. That's what it is if you read through these thousands of pages. This is one big wealth distribution scheme. It talks about giving these third world countries through the International Monetary Fund, giving them money through the monetary, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, get U.S. banks to loan these countries money. Then when they default, the federal government will bail out the big banks that loaned them the money. Just one big wealth redistribution scheme. And it's not a conspiracy. If you've got the time to sit down and read through the thousands of pages, it's in black and white. They're telling us what they're going to do. They tell us their intentions. It's a wealth redistribution scheme. The only way we're ever going to bring those countries up to the level that we're at is if we introduce capitalism, freedom, and God into their world. That's what made our country great. We can keep trying to tear this country down to bring those people up, but it's not going to work. We've got to, if they're going to ever be equal to us with the social justice, they're going to have to do what we do. That's capitalism, freedom, and God. And until we give that to them and show them how to do that, they're never going to be equal to us. Tearing us down's not the answer. Thank you for your time.
People, is it that hard not to clap, people? I mean, why can't we follow the rule of civility just a little? I mean, that's not a very difficult request.
It's easy to follow, but on the other hand, applause like this shows respect for the sincerity and the passion these people behind it, and they do it without becoming unglued. So that's a case of respect going both ways.
I understand that. We talked about it at the beginning. I'm going to ask you again, please, if we can avoid the clapping and let everybody have a chance to make their comments, and we can go right on through. Justinian Hobson.
Well, the state is, my name is Justinian Hobson. I live at 6212 Northwest 75th Street in Oklahoma City. I realize, first of all, that I may not be prepared. So, first of all, I agree with all these people that say that, Italy's tied to the UN Agenda 21 and things like that. And just basically, if you just type in Italy into Google, there's three clicks away. You just click, 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 and you can go simply to learn more about that, to all those websites. And I was not prepared. I guess someone signed me up, but I just stand for what most of the majority said. Thank you.
Siemens.
My name is Robert Siemens, 1821 Courtney Lane, here in Edmond. I am the elected spokesperson for a new little organization called GEL, which is an acronym for Govern Edmond Locally. We feel it is our mission to restore constitutional governance to the local level of government here in Edmond. We're focused on Edmond, but these issues are coming up all over the nation. I know people, I've had contact with people from all over the nation who have recognized this monster and who are now resisting it. We aim to have our Constitution restored in its completeness at all levels of governance in this country, including the local level, which I agree with Mr. Bullard is the most important and powerful level of governance. We don't have to hop on a plane to come to you guys and give you our feedback on the things that are going on. There were some excellent presentations before me. Many of them stole thunder that I had, but so be it. What I thought maybe I could do that would add a little bit of value is maybe add a little bit of historical perspective to this thing. This all appears to have started probably late 60s, early 70s. And if it takes a little bit of time. It is true that in three clicks you can see the relationship of ICLEI to the UN and all that sort of thing. It takes a little bit more time to kind of come to grips with how the thinking has evolved in this whole system that we are seeing the result of now pushed down to the local level. That is all by design. It is not something that has happened organically. It is something that has been thought through very clearly and very cleverly by the international elitists, most of whom are either communist or socialist. Now, 1972, I don't know if y'all happen to pick up this little historical outline that I made. Some of the people in the room probably have it. I apologize for not getting one specifically to you. But in 1972, the first report that comes out that kind of gets this ball rolling is called The Limits to Growth, and it was published by the Club of Rome. There might be some people in this room that have heard of this. I've done a little bit of research after hearing the name. Let me tell you what, you need to do your homework on this group. They're a group of international elitists headquartered in Italy, as the name would imply. And these are the biggest of the biggest, the wealthiest of the wealthiest. And they're producing reports and so forth that is having influence on all of the governments in the world. The main idea that came out of that study was that the world is not never ending, and somehow somebody has to control it. And of course, guess who they think must control it? Well, it's the elitists that must control it. And we're talking about not just a little bit of control here and there, we're talking about controlling everything. And I'll get to some more of that in just a minute. The quote that came out regarding land and how it should be owned, that comes from the UN Conference on Human Settlements, better known as Habitat One. That comes from a document that was produced called the Vancouver Action Plan. And I would like to pick up and add a little bit to that quote, which is quite interesting. Picking up at the concept of social justice, and land ownership and how those two relate in the minds of these people. If unchecked, it may become a major obstacle in the planning and implementation of development schemes. Okay, so they see private property as standing in the way of their development schemes. Social justice, urban renewal and development, the provision of decent dwellings and healthy conditions for the people can only be achieved if land is used in the interest of society as a whole. Sounds like the wild, I mean, that statement could have come out of the USSR in the 70s and 80s. This is all central planning stuff that is absolutely opposed to our constitutional republic. Okay, the next thing is, I think that was mentioned, actually the date I had on it was 1980, the Brundtland Report, Our Common Future. Our common future, our collective future. These are socialists speaking to us, as was pointed out. It is actually that document with which births the idea of sustainable development. That's where those two words are seen together for the first time in that document. So that's what, 31 years ago. So what we're seeing now is 31 years later. On my history, I left off a very important thing. I can't believe I did this. 1990, ICLEI was formed. Amazingly, since ICLEI itself says that it exists solely to push Agenda 21, it is amazing that it was formed 2 years after the conference that produced Agenda 21. Actually, it was probably produced in the conference down in Rio de Janeiro called the Earth Summit, was actually just a formality. All the governments had already signed on to it. Our President George H.W. Bush went down to that summit and he signed us on to that. I remember seeing the sound bites on TV, and at the time I had no idea of any of this, and I just looked at it and said, another silly UN thing. You know, what do I care? It's ridiculous. Well, I should have cared a lot more than I did. It took me quite a while to start learning a few things and get off the couch and start doing something about it. So that's 92. That's the Earth Summit. 93 is a seminal year in this thing, too, because it's when Bill Clinton built the governmental infrastructure within our government to push all this. And it's called the President's Council on Sustainable Development. It was an executive order that caused all of the executive branch agencies, EPA, HHS, all of the jillions of them, got roped into being pushers of Agenda 21. This is our federal government agreeing to push an internationalist collectivist agenda, and we got two presidents, a Republican and a Democrat, doing it. So we can't blame this on any particular political party. This is a bipartisan deal. Habitat 2 happened in 96. I think it was more a restatement of Habitat 1. And very interestingly, and I'm getting toward the end of my presentation here, from 1998 to the present, this kind of went a little bit quiet. You see less and less about it. But what have we seen more and more about? Global warming and climate change. This is the linchpin of implementing Agenda 21. Now, hopefully, we were accused of being protesters and we just wanted attention and there's no such thing as Agenda 21. I think that's a quote that was attributed to one of our council members. I hope everybody knows now that this is an actual document. This is actual stuff going on. It's been going on for a long time. Finally, we're beginning to wake up to what's going on. Ultimately, what it is, I think, is the way they perceive at the UN with the international elitists and so forth. This is the way they're implementing this new world order, this one world government. Slowly, incrementally, pushing it down to the very bottom level, which is in our local communities. Fortunately, as I say, we're beginning to wake up, and people are beginning to see what's going on, and we will not support this. And I agree with the comments that were made before. It's not just not using the language; it's stripping it all out of your thinking and all out of the system. It all has to go. Thank you.
I don't understand how there can still be denial about Agenda 21 being a part in this city. There's over 600 cities in this country that are doing it. And I first came on to something when Thanksgiving they had the turkey trot that the Edmond City sponsored along with a nonprofit organization, Turning Point Ministries, that popped up doing this along with Shannon Entz and the Habitants of Humanity. And in spite of 700 runners, including my son, that freezing cold Thanksgiving morning, close to $25 for each of them that ran, everything is hush, and they never said how much money that we made, where it went, how much federal stimulus money was added, because that's how it works. And that's what this connection with Habitats that Edmond had. The more public housing, the more fundraising you do, the more federal stimulus money. And so I think that's kind of scary. And then another example is just this recent article, City Council's okay losing trees for more parking at Bryant Square Apartments. Warner asked if the apartment owners had tried to attract renters without automobiles. And so I hate to see how this is going to affect realty and apartments, and that a rule would actually happen in this town that you have to try and rent to people that don't have apartments and cars. yet we're working on this, it's clear we're working on this new global transit and things like that that Obama wants to in place. And it might be interesting to note, because again, I don't understand why after all this time they continue to deny this is a part of Agenda 21, but a United States university in Cairo, Egypt, teaches Agenda 21. And today, the Christians that live in Cairo are living in places five times higher than this building with trash, ciphering and recycling trash and separating it, which keeps people from coming and kill them because they can't go in the streets, and they're getting killed in other countries. And the idea when you hear that we're going to have curbside composting, and you don't understand what that really means. It means having maybe 10 different bins for different plastic with paper cup, different types of papers, different kinds of cups. Some have coating on them, some have this, or some might have this. And the point is that it is really easy, and it would really be easier if they would just admit the city that this is going on. And I still want to know just how much money was raised Thanksgiving morning, and I want to know where the money went to, and I want to know how much federal stimulus money this town got, and I want to know, is it true there's a law that you have to try and rent places to people that don't own cars?
John Reed.
My name's John Reed. I live at 2304 Jeans Trail on the west side of Edmond here. I've only been down here for 3 years. I'm a Kansas boy. And I moved to Edmond because it was supposed to be a city where the property values stayed up. And I don't know how many people are in this room that are homeowners, but if you own a home, you may have a real white elephant on your hands if this kind of stuff goes through about the ownership of private property. One of the things I did was I woke up in 1957, I think it was October 4th or 5th. I was a seventh grader, and a Russian sent up Sputnik. Okay, and I used to read the newspaper every day. I've been an avid learner my entire life. And I decided that day, and when we heard the news as the day went on, that I was going to be an engineer, because the nation needed to have engineers to be able to catch up with the Russians. Okay, and I'm a licensed mechanical engineer today, and I've been licensed for 35 years. And unfortunately, I've watched jobs for engineers, okay, leave this country at incredible rates. The number of jobs that are available for people in my profession now are one-third of what they were when I graduated from college. But nevertheless, I had a job where I had the privilege to travel internationally. I've been to 6 continents. I've been to over 50 countries. I have seen the most unbelievable environmental disasters your eyes could even imagine. I just absolutely choked when I saw it. And these are the people that are telling us how we are supposed to live. I cannot believe that we would give up our sovereign right and everything we have in this country to let somebody else direct us. I became an engineer. I was in a generation where all of a sudden a whole lot of people started getting college educations, a much higher percentage than just a decade before me. And a lot of these people, quite frankly, weren't college material. And when you went to college, you had to get a degree in something. And I watched an awful lot of people get degrees in things like biology. What are you going to do with a degree in biology? And I watched this go on. I have designed and built coal-fired power plants. I just heard on the news today that the state of Oklahoma, okay, has the federal EPA reject a plan for the cleanup of your coal-fired power plants. There were three of them here in the state of Oklahoma. I know this business. I can't even begin to tell you the details I know about this business, okay? And I think it's a national travesty that we have. I've been to Europe. You think we love automobiles here? You want me to tell you who loves automobiles? Go to Germany, okay? You'll find people that love their cars. And you can put all of Europe in the eastern third of the United States. So whatever happens in Europe doesn't apply to the United States when it comes to transportation and roads and highways and gasoline consumption and yada, yada, yada. But yet people keep wanting to put us into this same box. You know, I came to Oklahoma because I worked down here for a good period of time before I decided to move here. And I was impressed with the Christian people. Very impressed. I saw a stronger Christian presence than I ever saw here. The environmentalists have taken over this Agenda 21 thing. You read the stuff, and it all starts with environmental stuff. And it feeds from that. We are being sold a complete lie. We have 170 other countries that are going to have a position telling us how we're supposed to live and that we're the bad guys. And I know it's not so. I know it's not so. Have you been to 50 countries? I've seen it with my eyes. And you know what? I love my wife and I love my kids. And when I got on a plane to come home, I was very happy to leave wherever in the world I was at. And when I got here and I came onto U.S. soil, I was really glad to be an American. Very much so. And I wish in my heart that all these people that hate America could get on a plane and go somewhere else, because they'd be there for about 2 months and then they'd want to get their tail back here as quick as they could. I believe in Father God. I do not believe in Mother Nature. Not one bit. And I've read the Bible, and I know what it says about the world in the last days. And I don't want to be any part of this. I want to stand up and be counted on the side that stood for godly principles. And whether you guys want to believe it or not, this nation was founded upon godly principles. If we don't have godly principles, this nation is going to go right down the sewer pipes you guys take care of in this city. I thank you for the chance to stand up and make my two bits, okay? And I sure hope you guys reject this United Nations leadership stuff, because it's going to lead to our ultimate destruction. And private property is something that I think is extremely, extremely important to everyone in this audience. Thank you.
Thank you. Linda Newsom.
Good evening. I'm Linda Newsom, and my address is 2825 South Broadway, Edmond, Oklahoma. I want to start with a quote from Harry Ruin, Vice Chair of ICLEI. He said, and I quote, "Individual rights will have to take a back seat to the collective in the process of implementing sustainable development." That was the Vice Chair of ICLEI. A Google word search of ICLEI's USA site, just on their site, you put in United Nations, you will come up with 89 matches for United Nations and ICLEI on the ICLEI site, and that was just last night. In fact, ICLEI is specifically endorsed on page 55 of the United Nations Agenda 21 document. in the Promoting Sustainable Human Development section, section 1721 of the Agenda 21 document. Additionally, Maurice Strong, the United Nations Secretary General at the United Nations 1992 Earth Summit in Rio, makes the connection himself between ICLEI and the United Nations perfectly clear. The United Nations Secretary General wrote the foreword to ICLEI's published document called the Local Agenda 21 Planning Guide, an introduction to sustainable development planning. No connection? We don't claim it, like the newspaper, the Daily Oklahoman said that we claim there's a connection. It is a fact. ICLEI and UN and Agenda 21 are intimately connected. In ICLEI's own annual report, they openly advertise their relationship with the UN. Quote, "To this end, we formed a strong partnership with UN agencies." The onus is on Shannon Entz and other ICLEI supporters to prove otherwise. Check it out yourself. The Daily Oklahoman quotes Shannon Entz saying, and I quote, "City officials said they were not aware of any connection between the council and Agenda 21 and the United Nations." That is absolutely not true. The Oklahoma article I'm referring to was written March 4th. The Daily Oklahoman that said that may have been true 2 months ago before the December 6th forum, but that is no longer true. The March 4th Daily Oklahoman article makes it sound as if city officials still have never heard of Agenda 21, ICLEI, and the United Nations connection, which gives the impression that there is no connection just because city officials have not heard of it. However, they have heard. First, the December 6th forum alerted city leaders and elected officials to the possibility of a connection between ICLEI, Agenda 21, and the UN. Naturally, that would have elicited concern, causing leaders, our leaders, to research the connection for themselves, because we all know the United Nations is no friend of America. ICLEI Agenda 21, UN, and sustainability were the main topics of the December forum. Plenty of time for anyone who wanted to look into it in the last 2 months to do so. Additionally, after December 6th, myself and many others wrote articles, emailed information, and/or visited city and state officials numerous times. We sent websites directly that you could link to Agenda 21, UN Sustainability, and ICLEI, including information on cities that have had disastrous results after implementing ICLEI helps. California has over 130 cities linked with ICLEI and using their help. How's it going for them? Information was shared with Shannon Entz, city council members, city manager, assistant city manager, and Mayor Douglas. We received some responses. Discussions occasionally took place. So when the Daily Oklahoman quotes Shannon Entz saying city officials said they were not aware of any connection between the ICLEI Council and the United Nations or Agenda 21, that is simply not true and misleads the reader into thinking there is no problem or it was not worth looking into. I hope the City of Edmond corrects the misinformation. It may just be the Daily Oklahoman that got it wrong, because the city does know all about it now, and will have to make a decision in November how they will proceed. Smart growth, STAR, and the like will not get us where we want to be. Open your eyes. It is being pushed everywhere. A short amount of time at freedomadvocates.org, a comprehensive site, and democratsagainstagenda21.com, a very basic site, will change your way of thinking very quickly. The stimulus money is getting in the way of rational thinking. Most importantly, Edmond is filled with capable, intelligent, educated, can-do people who care about the environment and want to govern it locally, not with international interference. Carroll County commissioners in Maryland recently ousted ICLEI. This is what the commissioner, Richard Rothschild, had to say. He said, ICLEI advocates a form of environmentalism that intersects environmentalism and socialism. The organization, he said, seeks to inject government into all forms of people's lives, including land use, farming, transportation, home construction, and food production. Doctrine held by ICLEI states that the land should not be viewed as a resource for private property owners, but rather the land needs to be controlled by the government and other stakeholders for the greater good. Since that doctrine is not shared by the people of Carroll County, they voted to eliminate their connection with ICLEI. The commissioner's decision to terminate its membership with the organization is one in a series of moves that makes a clear distinction between environmental stewardship and sustainability. During the January 20th, 2011 board meeting, the board almost unanimously voted to eliminate the county's sustainable coordinator positions. We can do that too. One more thing. This forum is open to everyone, and I would like to thank the citizens of Oklahoma for giving up their evening. Thank you for your time. I know there are senators, representatives, city staff, city managers, city council members, and even people running for the city council here tonight. Your time and interest is much appreciated. If you are near someone and you know that they are in one of those positions, thank them for their time. If you would like Edmond to no longer be associated with ICLEI, would you please stand? That is how we feel about your association with ICLEI. Thank you.
Do you have an adult microphone?
That's pretty good.
Okay, very good. Thank you. That's all right. Well, my name is Paul Blair. I am a resident of Edmond, 4325 The Ranch Road. Tomorrow I will celebrate 48 years as an Edmond resident, but I have actually been a resident for 48 years and 9 months, as my parents actually moved here in 1958, so except for some career decisions, I've been in Edmond virtually all my life, and it's a privilege to have the chance to address the council tonight. First of all, so much has been said, but folks, there's nothing new under the sun. That's what Solomon said. From the Tower of Babel, sinful man has always had a desire to run the world and to control the planet. From Nimrod through Nebuchadnezzar, through Cyrus, through Darius, through Alexander the Great, through the Egyptian pharaohs, and the emperors of Rome, even into the last century, we see with the Soviet Union, Adolf Hitler, man has desired to have power and to rule the world. Do we really think that we've advanced so much in the last 50 years that there aren't still some in the world that have a desire to control everything and to gain ultimate power? According to ICLEI's own website, in a document that's stated the strategic plan from 2007 to 2012, the Cape Town Plan, says in its opening paragraph that ICLEI develops and runs a range of campaigns and programs that address local sustainability issues while protecting global common goods and that link local action to internationally agreed goals and targets such as Agenda 21. According to the Agenda 21 website, it tells us that Agenda 21 is a comprehensive plan of action to be taken globally, nationally, and locally by governments of the United Nations system. And in the table of contents, it covers such things as changing consumption patterns among people, promoting sustainable human settlement development, managing and controlling the supply of fresh water, controlling sound management of toxic chemicals, sound management of hazardous waste, sound management of solid wastes, strengthening the role of workers and their trade unions, the role of business and industry, science and technology, the role of farmers, financial resources, education. Is there anything under the sun that's not covered by this United Nations agenda? As I said, there's nothing new under the sun. Our forefathers came out of a tyrannical collective in England. The king, by and large, owned everything. It was the king's dale. It was the king's forest. It was the king's deer in the forest. It was the king's lakes. It was the king's fish in the lakes. You had to practice the king's religion. As a matter of fact, even your own body belonged to the king, as you were the king's subject. You had no rights unless the king decided to grant them to you, and you only had them for as long as he decided to grant them to you. Our founders came to America looking for civil liberty and religious liberty. And after a period of time, we were given the greatest document in the history of mankind other than the Bible. It's called the Declaration of Independence. For the first time in human history, as a matter of fact, the only place in the world where it is stated that all men are created equal. Folks, that was not a doctrine that came out of the Hindu caste system. It wasn't something that came out of Islam with believers, women that have half the rights of a believer, and dhimmis that have no rights. It didn't come out of the aristocracy of England. It came out of the biblical principles of government that were established in the Declaration. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have the unalienable God-given right to life. And no man or government can arbitrarily take our lives away. You may choose to give your life in service to your country. You may forfeit your life if you commit a capital crime. But no government can arbitrarily take that. That's unalienable. It's God-given. We have the right to liberty. We have freedom. You may forfeit your freedom if you commit a crime. You may wind up in jail. But no government and no man can arbitrarily take that away from you. And we also have the right to the pursuit of happiness, as Mr. Bullard referenced a while ago. The pursuit of happiness, according to Blackstone's Commentaries on Law, which was the cornerstone of English law in the 18th century, was not some poetic prose. It was a legally defined term. It said that man, as a created being, cannot be happy unless he is walking in the will of his Creator. All things that God has given for us in the blessings of this life that are outlined in the Holy Scriptures. And they went on as referenced actually in the Fifth Amendment. Specifically, one of those things is the right to personal property. And no government or man can arbitrarily take those things away from us. And the whole purpose of our government in America was not to grant us those rights. God has granted us those rights. The purpose of government was to protect those unalienable rights. Our freedoms are defined in the Declaration of Independence. They are guaranteed by our Constitution. American freedom and prosperity has been unique from any other country in the world today or in world history. We are a constitutional republic. We have a rule of law. We are not a democracy ruled by a mob. We have an established rule of law that all public servants swear to uphold. And we have a republican form of government. We have federal, we have state, we have local officials. We are truly of the people, by the people, and for the people. That's the way we were created. It is operating in that fashion that we have been so successful and been so blessed. And it is our desire that we continue to operate that way. Folks, I don't trust the United Nations. I am suspect of any of their goals that they have for us. And much like the old adage about the camel that gets his nose underneath the edge of the tent flap and the next thing you know, he's all the way inside, I'm afraid that that is the strategy on the local level in communities such as the city of Edmond. I would ask, I think along with most of the people here, that we not participate in anything that's affiliated with the United Nations. God bless you. Thank you.
Is Ralph Armstrong here? I think Ralph probably had to leave already. Okay, David Newsom.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm David Newsom. Dr. Newsom, I did something with my biology degree. It's my privilege to speak with everyone tonight, and thanks for having this forum. I'm going to read some things and then give some thoughts off the top of my head. There's no way to count the dollars that have been wasted over the last 20 years by people attending thousands of United Nations meetings around the world, all designed to strengthen global governance and tighten the noose around people who still believe in individual freedom and free market capitalism. The United Nations Commission on Sustainable Development is but one of many United Nations organizations and agencies that conduct multiple international meetings each year. Last month, United Nations meetings on sustainable development alone were occurring 22 of the 28 days somewhere in the world. This is a big event. This is not small. This is the United Nations' major thrust. This is what they exist for now, to implement Agenda 21. This is not a little side note. This is their main mission. This UN Commission is responsible for implementing Agenda 21 across the entire planet. They have been exceedingly successful, as you've heard from all the well-spoken ladies and gentlemen before me. For the past few years, this commission has been conducting regional meetings in every few months in preparation for the year 2012 blowout in Rio de Janeiro to celebrate 20 years from the 1992 first time they met. This 20-year anniversary party is expected to produce an even larger crowd than the 92 event, and many UN watchers believe it'll produce a new treaty. Bear in mind, the United Nations votes against the United States between 70 and 90% of the time. The United Nations is not our friend. Why would we take their advice? It's ridiculous. Skeptics who refuse to believe that sustainable development has anything to do with the United Nations should examine Rio 2012, one of the many UN official websites that promote sustainable development. The concept of sustainable development has permeated all agencies of the federal government and is washing across the nation, infecting state and local governments. As said before, they have three circles, much like the old Budweiser symbol or a pretzel, three interlocking circles. It will govern everything in our social being, our environment, and our economy. Hear this. Sustainable development has little to do with sustainability, but everything to do with the government control of development. After all, what is and is not sustainable is defined by the government and therefore regulated by the government. Every new rule and regulation adopted in the name of sustainable development squeezes a little bit more freedom from every individual in Edmond and a little more profit from every business, thereby raising the cost to do business, thereby costing you more to purchase. Even a casual review of the United Nations Sustainable Development websites reveals that the scope of sustainable development embraces every facet of life, and it's been detailed earlier. For years now, the UN Commission on Sustainable Development has been constructing a 10-year framework of programs on sustainable consumption and production. The goal of sustainable development is government control of both consumption and production directed by the United Nations. Note how this goal corresponds with the UN Development Program of Global Governance. Quote from the UN Development Report 1999, page 34, the framework of rules, institutions, and practices that set limits on behavior of individuals, organizations, and companies. Not everyone has been caught up in the rush for sustainability. Several organizations have been warning of the dangers. We've heard about those tonight. Several counties and cities and municipalities across the country. I have a list. I'm not going to go over it. I have three pages of addresses, websites, names of communities across the country that are fighting this, and many of them have won this. And they've eliminated the cancer of sustainability, every thought, every facet from their community, from the law books. There's nothing about freedom in this. ICLEI is an international non-governmental organization created by the UN, and they answer to nobody. ICLEI is just a bunch of bureaucrats, of unelected officials, telling us what to do. And by the way, when it's imposed in a local community, there is no accountability of voted in elected officials. We have to keep our elected officials accountable, but when things get passed, they get passed by consensus, and this is by design, so no one has a signature on the paper. It is passed by consensus. And consensus does not include debate. One of my fears of this meeting tonight is that we are blowing steam. Yes, we're getting educated. Yes, we're showing solidarity against this. But our elected officials will go on and pass this regardless, because they don't have to be held accountable, because there are not going to be any signatures. And it's a bunch of bureaucrats making the decisions. Much like our glorious leader right now in D.C. that allows czars and other unelected officials to come out with statements that make policy decisions. Therefore, you pass the buck on accountability. I fear that this will happen tonight. It's happened in other counties that follow the ICLEI agenda. There are ICLEI prototypes that will train sustainable promoters. They are called facilitators, and they are trained on how to handle meetings like this. Allow us to feel real good when we walk out. What, I'm the 17th speaker tonight. It's 17-0 against it. And yet, who's listening? Will it be passed? Will it be passed? Will our voices be heard? Or is this just a big joke? Is this a charade? See, it's been a charade in some other communities. Well, Freedom Advocates, Alliance for Citizens' Rights, Freedom 21, American Policy Center, Sovereignty International, are among many organizations that are providing speakers and materials to organizations like us and elected officials in towns and cities who want to learn more about the dangers of this cancer, I mean sustainable development. Okay, here's some just thoughts off the top of my head. In the 80s, when the Berlin Wall came down, Mikhail Gorbachev was dictator of the Soviet Union. And some of you young enough might not even know what the Soviet Union was. Mikhail Gorbachev said, and bear in mind that Mikhail Gorbachev today, his office of Greenpeace is located in Presidio, California. Mikhail Gorbachev said, "Communism is not dead. Communism will not go away. Communism will take over the world through the Green Movement." He said that in the 1980s, ladies and gentlemen. That's a random thought. I called and spoke to, or my wife called the mayor of Edmond after the January meeting. And her first question to my wife was, do you vote in Edmond? I don't see what that has to do with it, really. There are a lot of dangers that are going on and a lot of dangers underfoot. We all know that there's socialism in the world. We all know that there's communism in the world. We all know that there's capitalism in the world. There's a battle going on, ladies and gentlemen. We have to hit this head on. There is no common meeting ground. It's one or the other will win. It's communism, socialism, or capitalism. It's our freedom and liberty or not. And I'll leave you with that. Thank you.
Danielle Forbes.
Hi, my name is Danielle Forbes. I live at 519 Wildwind, Edmond 73003. I first want to thank you for lending your time and your effort to these issues today. We have specifically chosen and elected you to hear our voice in a time like this, especially now. We value your educated opinions and ideas. As you already know, Agenda 21 is a wolf in sheep's clothing, as we have said. We need the protection of our shepherds. Thank you. Can we get rid of ICLEI? Yes, that is the good news, we can. In fact, Westminster, Maryland did just that. I have a quick thing to read to you. January 19, 2011. Westminster, Maryland, January 19, 2011. The Carroll County Board of Commissioners recently voted to withdraw their membership from ICLEI. Members of the board cited differences between sustainability and good environmental stewardship as the basis for their decision. Commissioner Richard Rothschild said the sustainability movement, as advocated by ICLEI, invokes government power to enforce activists' views of environmentalism. It merges environmentalism and socialism to expand into too many aspects of our lives, including government control in food, government control in transportation, government control in housing, government control in manufacturing, government control in energy. This encompasses every aspect of our lives. Commissioner Robin Fraser agrees. ICLEI's pro-Agenda 21 movement advocates socialist policies and chokes us to death with regulations, destroys our job base, sap individual creativity, and it steals our diminishing freedoms, which we have already talked about. Recent articles written about sustainability have questioned the goals of the movement and their relationship with environmental protection. In recent discussions, the Board of County Commissioners has decided the two are not aligned. Board President Doug Howard expressed similar concerns. He said, "I support measures to protect our environment, but I believe the ICLEI's vision is incompatible with the rights and freedoms of our citizens. I am concerned with my future. I am concerned with what's about to happen and what could happen. Please do not renew our membership with ICLEI in November. We are not crying wolf. This is a present danger. Thank you."
Phil Pardue.
Hi, my name is Lisa Helm, 5412 Butte Road, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73025. I would like to speak to the council directly. I'm sitting back there, and I'm wondering if you guys are hearing us.
Hi.
I'm wondering if you're hearing us.
We've been doing that for now a little over an hour and a half.
Not just with your ears, with your hearts. The Bible says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And Jesus was saying that in reference to the truth of his word. I want to say that in reference to what has been spoken here tonight. Please hear us. The truth has been spoken again and again. And as Edmond citizens, we're imploring you to hear us. We don't want this. You're going to open the door to something that is going to restrict our freedom. That's a fact. And we're asking you guys to close the door. Please don't open this door. You have the power. It's been given to you to open the door, and we are asking you to close it. And I'd like to echo the words of Ralph Bullard. You know, why are we taking money from our federal government that doesn't have money? We are in debt over $1 trillion, and I know we take federal money for different things. But as much as we can, let's keep the door closed to that. Let's not take money from our government that doesn't have it. Doesn't have money. We're broke. So I just want to end with that you guys would hear the truth of what has been said tonight with your hearts. And I pray that your decision isn't just made and it's just a wall that we're talking to. I pray that your hearts are receptive. And I think everyone here needs to be praying about this. Thank you.
Valerie Ekton, did I pronounce that right?
My name is Valerie Ekton. We live at 804 Northwest 153rd Terrace in Edmond. And these are my three teens that I dragged up here with me, Ashley, Benjamin, and Matthew, because what we're talking about here tonight is their future, the things that are going to impact them. We are not longtime Edmond residents. We moved here 3 years ago from Chicago. We love Edmond. This is, I'm very, very nervous, a great place to live, and there is not anything that we left behind in Chicago that we miss but our people. Mr. Ekton would be here, but he's stuck in New York City on his way home from a business trip in Turkey. We are all about protecting and cherishing the home that God has given to us. But what we're dealing with right now is their future, their freedoms that organizations and concepts like Agenda 21, sustainable growth, sustainable development, the ICLEI program, and other organizations just like them that are seeking to steal my children's future. It is their future that is being changed. It is their heritage that these organizations are seeking to rob. It doesn't matter what name they go by, because a rose by any other name is still called a rose. I also know that there are many people here in this country that are not opposed to the evils of socialism and communism, and that is part of my fear about what is going on tonight. A lot of people have talked a lot about the evils inherent in these things. But not everyone holds those views. Living in Chicago, it's rampant. It's one of those things that we've loved about Oklahoma. These are dangerous organizations for Edmond to be associated with, even if you are only using their computer software. Edmond is financing their agenda. You are lending these organizations the credibility and the image or illusion of Edmond's support, of your support, when you use their products. This is not an acceptable future for my kids or yours. It's not an acceptable future for our children. This is a very dangerous road that we are running to. These are not organizations, philosophies, or ideologies that are safe for the future of my children, for the future of Edmund's children, for the future of the children of the United States. We support a return to the constitutional liberties that were established by our founding fathers, private property rights and individual freedoms. And we very much, and thanks kids for standing up here with me. And I do see there are other children out here. Look at their faces. This is who you are impacting. I'm going to be in a retirement home, hopefully bouncing grandbabies on my knee. These kids have to deal with the decisions that come from here. And it's a snowball rolling down straight to hell if we don't be so careful and guarded in these decisions. Do not lend your support or approval to these organizations. It has to be put to a stop. Thank you.
Ed Moore.
Yeah, Ed Moore, 1721 Parkland. Ed Moore, 1721 Park Lane Drive. Appreciate the opportunity to talk. Had the opportunity right after the first meeting to meet with Shannon. She said, check this out. I checked it out on the web like she advised, and I was really kind of shocked. It seemed like it came out pretty much the way that the people were disturbed about in the first meeting. But in the name of diversity, we have not heard from any pink old commie that would like to make a statement for this. And I'd just like to give my time up. If they didn't get signed up back there, I'd like to give my time to them so that they can make a presentation for this. Come on up. I'll just give you my time.
My name is Benton Howell. I live at 2524 Hunt Club Court here in Edmond. What else do I need to tell you? Okay, I would like to say that I think that sustainability is a very important thing, not only for this community, but for this country and for the world. The problem is right now that you have something over 6.7 billion people in our world right now. And of course they're using resources faster as they become more educated, as they build houses, as they buy cars. And you're going to have the problem that this is going to impact the ability of all peoples to have the energy that they need for their civilization, for their homes, for their vehicles, for all of this. At the same time, you have emissions from all of these vehicles, from these cities, from their utilities burning these fossil fuels. And this is not sustainable if we don't take care about how we do this. And the problem is, there's several ways of looking at it. One is just pollution. One is putting carbon into the atmosphere, carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, increasing the heating of the earth through global warming. And this I realize among this crowd is not a very popular viewpoint, but it is the scientific consensus. And this is one of the things that this, not only Edmund has to think about to some degree, it's, really Edmund doesn't think a lot about that particular point, but the country as a whole has to address these issues at different levels, certainly at the federal level, and not so much at this level. But at this level, in the community, we have the opportunity to make progress in transportation, and that is have a bus system that doesn't burn as much fossil fuel. We have the opportunity to have incentives for people to install geothermal systems. We have some opportunity, probably not very much, for solar electric systems. And the reason we want to have this is to be able to reduce the amount of carbon emissions into our atmosphere, and not to pollute our water and our land as much. And so these are part of what this organization under Shannon Ince is trying to encourage in the city of Edmond. Now, I want to talk just a second about what I've heard people saying up here. People come up here and they say that God has somehow told them that the sustainability doesn't make any sense, that it's wrong, that it's going to do harm. I wonder, is it the same God that I know? I don't think so. And I really object to what I've heard tonight of people getting up here and claiming that God has somehow decided that this is the evil thing to do, to have sustainability. And this is the way it was in the first meeting we had too. And it's not just Ickley. This crowd here has come here with this like idea that to try to do sustainability is evil and it's wrong. And you've been able to latch on to this organization called ICLEI as a way to tag the city with doing something that you don't want them to do. And I don't go along with it at all. And yes, I'm not particularly excited about Agenda 21. I think that's there's an awful lot of stuff there, and I don't particularly like it. But just because our municipal servants, I guess you would say, want to buy software to be able to make measurements and be able to interpret those measurements, I don't see anything sinister about that at all. So now, I had another reason for coming here, and that was to make a proposal for what I wanted to see as things that the city should consider for projects. And these are actually fairly simple things that I don't think are very expensive projects for the city. One, I would like to see a citizens organization created to approach the various homeowners associations and encourage them to get homeowners to use electricity from wind and from geothermal and from solar electric. And I know right now that among the homeowners associations, it's pretty difficult to get permission to install solar electric, for instance. Another thing I would like to do is encourage them to adopt photovoltaic-friendly neighborhoods with awards to be presented to the most successful neighborhoods. Another thing is to set goals for our community in maximizing the bus system usage in town and try to make schedules that will be useful for the commuters. Another thing I would like to encourage is to install a couple of electrical charging stations in Edmond. One of the things that I learned about recently about the solar electric is that I don't believe right now we can actually put electricity on the grid if we have a photovoltaic system. And I would like to, see that changed if we can, because right now that seems to be an impossibility. I thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you. Michael Blaylock.
Oh, good evening, everybody. I'm not sure if I'm the very last one, but when this started out and I heard Larry say, you got to be signed up on the list, I said, oh, no, damn, I got to run over there and sign up on that list. So I don't know if I'm the last, but I'm pretty sure that I'm close to it. I also wanted to say a few words on the gentleman that just spoke. It takes some courage to get up in a room full of critics you know are not friendly to your views and then speak them. Okay, and I wanted to acknowledge that, and I appreciate hearing those. I'm an engineer. I love photovoltaics. I like some of your ideas. Thanks. I also heard it a couple times mentioned tonight referring to this body as the council or as elected officials. Please correct me if I'm wrong. There are no elected officials up here tonight. And I wanted to point that out. That's not their fault that there are no elected officials here tonight, but that's something I wasn't prepared to come here and be upset about. I am upset about it. With an issue this size, this impactful, and this contentious in our city, why are they not up here? Why are they not taking the heat? Now, these folks are signing us up for this. They deserve the heat, too. So, you know, you got your job. So. That's okay. Anyway, okay, so concerning sustainability, I was sitting down trying to collect my thoughts, and I said, you know, I just have one question, just one question I wanted to ask. Where does this path lead? This is a very important question, and Larry, Jim, Steve, Shannon, ponder on that question some. Ponder on it a lot more than you have already, please. Where does this path lead? Edmond is already a dues-paying member in ICLEA. Okay, we've all heard the evils of ICLEA. And I don't accept that we are only in ICLEA for software. And I got a reason for not accepting that, and I'm going to read you that reason. This is from the ICLEA application that any municipality has to fill out and sign, and I'm assuming you read it when you sign it. Quote, upon receipt of membership fees and an adopted program resolution, your jurisdiction will be considered a full ICLEA member. All ICLEA council members are governed by the ICLEA charter. Now, did you catch that? Jurisdiction, Edmond, governed by the ICLEA charter. What that means, that's supplementing our laws with other laws. Not laws you voted on and not laws that people you voted on put in place. Laws that are put in place by an international body. Okay? So, this is what our elected officials are doing to us. Yes, it's done by consensus. When we asked after the first meeting who signed us up for ICLEA, we're still waiting on an answer. I don't know who signed us up. Do any of you, can any of you tell us who, what person signed us up for ICLEA? I don't know the answer to that question. From the ICLEA Charter, listing out work mandates. Keep in mind, we're governed by the ICLEA Charter. Here are some mandates. Promote the role of local government as a necessary innovator and implementer of sustainable development and environmental policy. Raise and dispense funds to fulfill the purposes of the association. Not Edmund's goals, ICLEA's goals. Please let that sink in for a minute, what they were signing. If they didn't read what they were signing, that's a gross negligence of duty. If they did read what they're signing, that's far worse. Either way, that's not good news. There's a lot of anger and hostility in this room, and I think it's merited. I'm sorry if that makes you uncomfortable. It makes us uncomfortable what's going on. Here's another observation. I believe most of you think that this is about saving the environment. You had some great ideas, sir. I'm concerned about our environment, too. You mostly think this is about good stewardship practices. At least most of the unassuming public does. Okay? Well, here's some more quotes from the ICLEA Charter that we are governed by currently. This comes from the section on guiding principles. Build democratic societies that are just, participatory, sustainable, and peaceful. Adopt patterns of production, consumption, and reproduction that safeguard Earth's regenerative capacities, human rights, and community well-being. Eradicate poverty as an ethical, social, and environmental imperative. Ensure that economic activities and institutions at all levels promote human development as an equitable and sustainable manner. Affirm gender equality and equity as prerequisites to sustainable development, and ensure universal access to education, health care, and economic opportunity. Integrate into formal education and lifelong learning the knowledge, values, and skills needed for a sustainable way of life. So, some questions. Who is it that decides what is just and what is not just? Who is it who decides what is and what isn't for the well-being of the community? Who decides which economic activities are equitable and which ones are not? This is not the model of a free market. It's not the model of a free society. It's not the model of America, not the one I grew up in. I fear it's the model of the America that my kids are growing up in. This is the model of a communistic or socialistic society. Does anyone remember the goofy central planning of the now defunct Soviet Union? I'm old enough that I remember that, learning about that in school, at a time when it was still fashionable to not like communism. Do you remember the absurdities of all the shortages, contrived shortages? And you're sitting here in America wondering, why is it that in that big country with all that rich farmland, people are starving? How does that happen exactly? I hope we don't find out how that happens exactly. Has anyone been to California lately? 130 municipalities in California have been in ICLEA for a long time. Where's the worst economy in our nation right now? Number one worst. If you look at a map and try to place with little pins where the worst economies are, I defy you to show not near 100% correlation with adherence to environmentalism, specifically sustainability, smart growth, Agenda 21. Second question, what does eradicating poverty and ensuring universal health care, or for that matter anything that I just read, have to do with stewardship of our natural resources? The answer is nothing. It doesn't have anything to do with our natural resources. Just a few short months ago in the November elections, all of America screamed aloud no to this insanity. Here it is again, and all of you and I and our neighbors need to stand up and say no again. Words have meaning. In the U.S., we are supposed to be governed by law, U.S. law created by elected U.S. officials through our U.S. legislative process and consistent with the U.S. Constitution.
being governed by ICLEI is not consistent with the U.S. system at any level of government, and we need to say no. Now, is it legitimate to consider and wisely use our natural resources? Absolutely. Nobody here should get the idea that anybody here doesn't care about the environment. I don't want polluted waters either. I grew up in Los Angeles having to live through smog days through most of the summer. I don't like pollution, and I'd like to think of good ways to control it. There's lots of good ideas here, and I don't need the help of ICLEI to tell me how to do it. I think I can speak for a majority of the citizens here. Edmond needs to pull out of ICLEI. You need to disassociate with that organization. It's a taint, it's a smell, it's a cancer, and you don't need it. I've noticed that all of you have been taking notes. I'd really like to hope and believe that the notes you're taking are actually to educate yourselves, to improve policy, and that you're listening to us. I'm a little cynical, though. I'm cynical enough to believe that the notes you've been taking are really how to get around us. There's a lot of cynicism out here in the audience, and you're looking at a person who has a lot of cynicism, too. It didn't take much of us long to realize why we don't like ICLEI, why we don't like Agenda 21, and to see the connections. And it baffles us that you don't see them already. That's confounding. You're all American citizens. You should behave like American citizens, not international citizens. Please get us out of ICLEI and out of the United Nations.
Alan Wise, you may not be.
When I researched Agenda 21, what I found on particularly was that it was an attack on private property rights. Oh, I live at 809 Jewish Trail. Essentially what Agenda does, it does things like change zoning laws. For example, here in Oklahoma, in Edmond, a lot of people got well-to-do because they took land that had blackjack trees on it and turned it into housing land. The laws that are presented by the UN, that wouldn't happen. Anyway, our property rights are under attack. Our constitutional rights are under attack by both the Fifth Amendment, the Eighth Amendment, and the 14th Amendment. In our country, our government can't take land without giving us return by eminent domain without a fair market value. We can't take land unless you have due process. But in countries in the UN, many of which are dictatorships, many of which are socialist, land can be taken without just compensation. Agenda 21 encourages the government to take people's property, to destroy property rights, to undermine the Constitution. I don't think this is a good idea. I don't think the city of Edmond should encourage this sort of thing. Are we going to change our zoning laws to destroy people's personal property rights? And can we consider the fact that this will result in the fact that there will be multiple lawsuits against the city of Edmond, constitutional lawsuits that will cite the Fifth and 14th Amendment and will say, how can you take my property by undermining it with UN agendas? I think that you should pull out of ICA, and I think that we should consider people's private rights and not the UN agenda.
Thomas Lewis.
I appreciate the opportunity to be heard, and appreciate you all's service to the city. Thomas Lewis, 12112 Woodland Hills Drive, Oklahoma City, 73131. Again, I appreciate the work that you guys do. I also appreciate the fact that in many countries around the world, I wouldn't be heard, nor would they. Okay. It's our system that gives us the privileges and the honors and the freedoms that we do, and we have to keep that in mind. I remember, I'm just 44 years old, and I remember in the late 70s, early 80s, there was a big food scare. The world was running out of food. There's too many people on the earth. There's going to be mass starvation. And that scare just went away, right? The facts proved it wrong. So the scare went away. Then we moved from the food scare to global warming. No, I mean, really, really. We moved from the food scare to global warming, and the world is heating up. We're all going to bake, right? We're emitting too many fossil fossil fuel use is cooking the world. And then, oops, whoa. Well, we kind of boxed ourselves in the corner by calling it global warming, because what happens if it's too cold? So I tell you what, why don't we change the verbiage? Let's go climate change. That catches everything, right? Everything. If it rains too much, it's your fault. If it's too hot, it's your fault. If it's too cold, it's your fault, right? That's a context that I think is helpful for us to keep in mind. It was, I believe, Rahm Emanuel, former White House chief of staff, that said right around December or December of 08, January of 09, never let a good crisis go to waste. So as the country was falling apart, our economy was falling apart, his philosophy was let's take this slosh money that we're printing and borrowing, and let's use it for social ends. So the fact to me that there may be 130 cities across the country that are digging in, that are taking this stimulus money, is not necessarily a good thing. Okay. It's also worth keeping in mind that one of the largest emitters of greenhouse gases, if not the largest, is China. So we would be, China may be playing the game, playing lip service to sustainable development, but when the rubber hits the road, if we think that the Chinese are going to let us tell them how to structure their economy, or that they're going to let the UN tell them how much coal to use, what watt light bulbs to use, what the fuel mileage of their vehicle should be, they're going to tell the UN and everybody else to get lost. So it's important that we keep in mind that we need to be careful in thinking that we can fix the emissions problems by changing our way of life drastically when we're not even the biggest problem. Okay. I like to live. Therefore, I'm all for sustainability. I like to eat. I'm all for sustainable agriculture. When I go to the tap, I don't want sewage-tainted water coming out. I'm all for sustainability. I like to breathe fresh air. That's a good thing. So I think it's, you know, critical that we keep in mind sustainability is a good thing. The gentleman that presented some very concrete steps about fuel efficiency, solar usage, mass transit, you know, it's crazy You know, I grew up off of I-35, and I remember I'd stand on the bridge watching everybody go to work every morning, lots of traffic. And I, even at the age of 10 or 11, I thought it was strange that there's these tens of thousands of vehicles with one person in the car. What's up with that? Right? And so, yeah, are there some things that make sense that we should, that would be beneficial for us to be doing? Yeah, absolutely. There's two extremes, you know, in philosophy concerning stewardship of the environment. You have man-centered ideology, which says man is the big fish, man's the big kahuna. He can treat the environment however he wants because he's at the top of the food chain. And then you have plant and animal-centered philosophies that say that the creation is more important than the creator. And there are countries, I know of at least one major country in Europe that has given, if you don't know this, it's really pretty surprising, that have given plants and animals constitutional rights. It's true. So you literally have to take into account the dignity of a plant as you decide what to do with your property. That would be the other extreme from the person that says, I'm man, I can do what I want to, I can pollute with impunity. Neither one is good. Neither one's good. I would suggest four principles that should guide us in deciding whose software to use, because as we purchase software or any other services, Edmond is a great city. We're actually lending that entity our credibility because they can go to the rest of the world and say, Edmond uses our stuff. They must endorse us. Okay? The principles that I think should guide any of our decisions would be, if it's coercive, we're out. Okay? America is not about coercion. If it has a bent toward centralized authority, we're out. If it provides incentives to individuals to be good stewards, that's a good thing. And another key principle that should guide our purchase decisions, as well as our policy, would be that freedom is not an impediment to progress.
Thank you.
Molly Scott.
This is 3210 Horseshoe Bend, Northwest Piedmont, Oklahoma. I'm Molly Scott. I'm 17 years old. I'm a junior in high school. First, I would like to ask the gentleman who spoke on Agenda 21 if you rode your bike here to save on pollution. I've been studying in my government class about the United Nations, ICLEI, and their involvement in Agenda 21. I'm concerned about my future and my freedoms as an American as well as an Oklahoman. My question is, why would Edmond or any other town in America take federal money, our money, that would remove our freedoms, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness?
Matt Johnson.
Uh,
Hello, I'm Matt Johnson. I'm at 2113 Summer Hollow Lane. We want to be good stewards of the planet. I mean, we want to have, good grow. I mean, do green things. I mean, but we don't need ICLEI to tell us how to do it. We all agree with Mr. Benton Howell, who just left, that, yeah, we want better gas mileage in our cars, and we want wind energy. And Edmond's already making steps in those directions. I mean, we're ahead of the curve as far as that goes. So why do we need ICLEI to tell us what to do? Why should we give them control of it? I mean, they already have almost like $1 million of our tax dollars. How did that happen? I mean, that's ridiculous. The software that they're talking about using, and I'm surprised I haven't heard anybody bring this up yet, is one of the things is GIS. It's Global Information Systems. And I don't know if any of you guys, or I'm sure some of you have seen the biodiversity maps. It's pretty similar. Basically telling us where we can and can't build our businesses, where we can and can't grow our farms. And it happens to be that Edmond is one of the leading cities in this technology. It's another just ridiculous, and I can't believe that that's going on. I mean, by this time, do you guys understand what ICLEI is and Agenda 21 is? I mean, we've been here for a couple of hours. I'm not asking you to make any decisions. Do you understand what it is? All right. I don't have much else to say about this except that we need to stop with ICLEI. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's giving away our total control of properties, our liberties. I mean, if we kick this thing out of our city, other people are going to move to this city. We'll grow. We got plenty of smart people here. They know how to do things. We've already, got flex fuel cars and got wind energy and things of that nature. We're already moving those directions. Why do we need to let some international United Nations group come in and tell us what to do here? I mean, people will come to this city just for the fact of us kicking ICLEI out of here. I mean, seriously.
We're at the end of the speaker list, folks. Okay, come on up. Sure.
Thank you, Larry. My name's Wayne Harrison. I reside at 1709 Park Lane Drive, 73003. I wrote you and the mayor an email, and it was addressed. I thought we would have an answer and a question-answer program tonight. And it seems like it's a football team, and we're giving you all of our home plays. And we're not seeing your plays come back. We're not getting any answers back. But the software, we can get the software anywhere. As the young man said just a minute ago, it's topographical. It's where we can and cannot build. And that's basically what that software is. We can get that from anybody. But ICLEI, under the ICLEI website, you go there and they tell you how to bring ICLEI into a town. And they say use your church members and your leadership groups and bring ICLEI in, tell them how good it is. And it's under the premise of conservation and environmental issues. And we all agree that we need those, and those are good things to stand by. But Edmond has been proactive since the 70s. When I built my company years ago, I had to tell you the color of leaves on my trees. I mean, we had put in retention ponds. We've been doing this since the 70s. So Edmond's been a leader throughout the United States in conservation and stuff. Mr. Howe talked about the codes and standards. I helped write the codes and standards for the International Code Council. That's what we're under, the ICC. We've already got conservation, energy, and all that stuff already in the codes. It's already been adopted. We've already adopted that by the state. It's the ICC code. It's in the building codes. You can put geothermal, you can put solar, whatever you want to put in there. But I don't think we're getting any answers to it. I heard the three clicks tonight. I'd like to tell everybody what the three clicks are. The three clicks are go to www.ICLEI.com. ICLEI.com. Go to the top of the page and click on programs. Click on programs and go to Agenda 21. And it tells you all this information. Three clicks. ICLEI.com, programs, and Agenda 21. And it's got it there. And, on that also it has a diversity page, a diversity map, and it shows Edmond as being cooperative. We're a little blue spot. And that's what this this program, this software for topographical areas where we can build and not build and live and not live is based on. And it's a little blue spot, and it says Edmond is cooperative. The thing that concerns me about that is that if Edmond's cooperative, why does the UN control the Statue of Liberty, Yellowstone National Park, and why do we need it here in Edmond? Thank you.
Anyone else? Well, and I didn't say misbehave, so I didn't use that word. I just asked that I gave up on stopping the clapping, to be honest. So, but no, I appreciate that, ma'am. And I want all of you to know here, we very much appreciate you taking the time to share your comments with us. That was the whole purpose of this forum. It's very clear from the discussion that we've had tonight from all of you that there's a lot of concern about the City of Edmond's membership in ICLEI. And what we will do is go back and review your comments and have some additional discussions and try to see where we stand. But we will definitely consider your comments. That's what the purpose of the evening was for. And yes. Well, at this point, I can't tell you that we'll have another meeting, but I can tell you that you'll know if there's any decision made concerning where we are with ICLEI. So I don't know. We may have another meeting. In fact, another meeting, I think, has been discussed in some general sense. I don't know that we'll have another one. We may or may not, but that's something we'll try to decide at some point in the future and make sure everybody's aware of that. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And I want all of you to know, we understood the basic message was the same for most of you. So we understand that. We spent now 2.5 hours listening to those comments, folks. I think we understand what your concerns are. So, yes. Sure. Which I'm sure you'll appreciate. Well, I don't deal with ICLEI every day, so. Sure, I understand. And again, I appreciate the tone of the comments, because we asked people to stay within some basic guidelines, and for the most part, everybody did. So we appreciate that. We very clearly heard what you have to say. We appreciate you coming and making us aware of that, and you will know where we go forward from here, and we'll be back in touch with you. Thank you for coming.